Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If you like extra cash, the Kroger Rewards MasterCard is the card for you. You'll earn 5% cash back on the first $2,500 you spend. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dawes producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can. And who didn't think the NBA Finals were over when the LA Lakers took a 2-0 lead Friday night and Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo were still sidelined because... Then came Game 3 on Sunday night, and though it is true that the series is still likely to end the way it was always supposed to end, and that is with our King LeBron James holding the trophy, it's at least interesting now. I wasn't that interested heading into Friday night's game or last night's game. Now, Game 4 tomorrow night, I'm interested in that. We'll talk about it all momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you, 4:25. Brett McMurphy is going to join me. He's a college football insider for Stadium. You can watch him at watchstadium.com. I'll talk college football with him in the next segment. Memphis and Mississippi State both lost this weekend. Ole Miss and Tennessee and Arkansas won. Alabama smashed Texas A&M. Georgia embarrassed Auburn. Texas fans are ready to hire Urban Meyer. A lot of stuff happening in college football. I'll talk to Brett McMurphy about some of it. Around 4:25. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the highlight of yesterday's NFL action, I thought at least, was a fist fight between Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey. When you leave a man's pregnant sister for a stripper, eventually, it appears, you're going to have to throw hands with that man. That's what Jalen Ramsey learned yesterday. We'll have fun with that ridiculous story. Around 4:44. We have a rare midseason Monday Night Football doubleheader on tap. Patriots Chiefs first, 6:05 on CBS. It's America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. Then at 7:50, Falcons Packers on ESPN. We'll get into the NFL a little later on this hour. The ALDS is officially underway. Game one, Astros Athletics started about an hour ago. Game one, Yankees Rays will start about 3 hours from now. I'll talk baseball just before 5 o'clock. And the President of the United States says he's headed back to the White House tonight after participating in a weird parade outside Walter Reed yesterday. Good for him. But if you thought he'd change his messaging after having been hospitalized with COVID-19, looks like you thought wrong. We'll talk about this goofy weekend in Washington during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I want to start with the NBA Finals. Game 4, Lakers Heat, is set for tomorrow night in primetime on ABC. And there have been two games played since I last talked to you on Friday afternoon. So before we get to the present, let's back up to Friday night's game 2. Obviously, before tip-off Friday, we already knew that Miami would be without Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo. That's two of the Heat's top three players. That's rough for anybody. So Miami was a 10-point underdog at tip. Predictably, the Heat lost 124-114, fell behind 2-0 in the NBA Finals. And I swear, I don't think I watched a minute of it. And it appears not many others did either, because the ratings were way down, not just like year over year, but like from game 1 to game 2. After roughly 7.5 million people watched game 1 on Wednesday night, only 4.5 million people watched game 2 on Friday night. So a lot of folks dropped off, presumably for a lot of the same reasons I did. Bennett, did you watch game 2 on Friday night?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I didn't. And I love LeBron James. I recognize him as my king. And yet, before I left for the studio on Friday, my wife informed me that our little dudes would be staying the night with my mother. So she was like, do you want to get dinner tonight? Like, after the show, maybe we could just get dinner. And, like, you know, we don't get to do that too often in the middle of a pandemic with young children. And so under normal circumstances, I would have said, yeah, maybe, but, you know, Game 2 of the NBA Finals, and our king is playing basketball tonight on national television. So maybe a nice compromise would, let's get dinner, but get dinner somewhere where there is a television so we can just, like, you know, watch it out of the corner of our eyes. Or get dinner, but, like, maybe don't object if we stream it on my phone and set it up at the table. And instead of any of that, I just said, sure, let's get dinner. Like, I didn't care, because I just figure, the Lakers had just rolled Miami in game 1. Now Dragic is out. Adebayo's out. We're probably looking at a sweep. Like, I had no interest in watching the game. Beyond that, so I think some of the ratings going down from game one to game 2 was that. Was like people, you go into it thinking, okay, we're going to have a competitive series. Mm-hmm. Then you watch one team beat the crap out of the other team, and then that other team, the inferior team, is now down two of the top three players. You're like, what are we even doing here?
It was also on a Friday night.
That's the other big thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why late-night shows do reruns on Friday nights, why most quality television is not on Friday night. Like, we always spend a portion of Dinner to Go on Friday talking about Dateline, because that's a Dateline night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they do Dateline on Friday night?
Because they can, I would assume, because they can air older episodes?
There's that, but this is the most important thing. You don't have to have watched last week's Dateline to watch this week's Dateline.
I got it. It's original every week.
It's
a
new story every week, because what they know is that people are not sitting at home watching television on Friday night. In fact, Friday night is the worst night of the week for people gathering around a television and watching television.
Makes sense.
It's why, like, you know, Seinfeld was never going to be on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones is never going to be on a Friday night. What you can put on Friday night is something like Dateline, because that's a bad night for television. But if people are going to watch television, 2020 works the exact same way. If people are going to watch television in primetime, major network television, put something there that they don't have to be there every Friday night to watch it. That they'll just watch it because it's something that's on, and I don't need any context for this. Like, you can't just turn on, like I'm watching Fargo right now. Like, if a new episode of Fargo came on a Friday night and Fargo's on, if you're not watching Fargo, you're probably not going to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not committed to being home Friday night in front of a television every Friday night, then you're probably not watching that show. So now you're not watching this show, so let's not put this show on. That's the way networks work. It's why 2020 is on Friday nights. Dateline is on Friday nights because people aren't committed to being in front of a television on Friday night. So the rating drops because of that. It's Friday night. And also Friday night, not in June, but like a Friday night in October where you do have, for better or worse, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at high school football games.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that go into this. But either way, Friday night, I was just like, yeah, let's go get dinner. Well, I don't care.
I was going to say, too, like, we never have an NBA final. Like, for me personally, and I think a lot of people are like this, like, I know Saturday college football is going to be on all day. I know Sunday NFL is going to be on all day. Like, Friday, this time of year, I'm not in the mood to, like, watch sports on a Friday night, if that makes sense.
Well, there's that. I think there's a whole bunch of factors. Why was game one's number so big, game two's number not? And I should be clear. Game one's number wasn't that big relative to other NBA finals.
Sure.
The numbers are down because of the calendar, I think, more than anything else. But either way, the numbers are down. But the number did drop significantly from game one to game two. I think some of that was Friday instead of Wednesday. But I think part of it, at the very least, was game two didn't look like it was going to be that interesting,
right?
Because this series didn't look like it was going to be that interesting because the better team had showed itself to be the better team in game one, and then the inferior team was going to be down two of its top three players for game two. So I didn't watch game two at all. And then it went about the way you would think it would go. Like, the Lakers win by double digits, and now they're up 2-0. So game three was then set for last night. And on Sunday night, that is a night where people do gather around,
sure,
and watch television. That's why all the big HBO shows are on Sunday nights and have been for years now. And so I was going to watch Game 3 last night just because I'm home. It starts an hour before Sunday night football. So, like, I'll have one channel. You know, I've got three televisions in the room where I usually sit and watch games with the boys, or even Kelly comes up there every once in a while. And I said, okay, we'll keep one on cable news just to keep an eye on what's going on in Washington. And then I'll have Sunday Night Football on one, and then I'll have the NBA Finals game three. But I didn't expect the game to be that interesting. You know, the Lakers are up 2-0, still no Dragic, still no Adebayo. And the Lakers were once again about a 9 or a 10-point favorite. But if you watch the game, you know it felt different pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically from the tip. Miami came out, played with incredible intensity, emotion, despite being down two starters and being down 2-0. The Lakers came out and just did the opposite. So Miami's up 13 points, 8 minutes into the game. L.A. closed the quarter strong, but Miami still led by 3 points after the first quarter, by 4 points at the half, and by 5 points after three quarters. Then the Lakers actually tied at 89-89. With 9:30 left, and then they take a lead 91-89 with 8:56 left. And at that point, I figured, okay, well, here we go. You know, this is one of those classic NBA, like, February games where the better team just playing around and playing around and playing around, and then boom, all right, it's time to go. Let's go win this thing and get out of here. It used to happen with the Grizzlies all the time.
Sure.
You know, the Grizzlies would be a lottery team, and I don't know, a team that's going to finish top three in the East or West would come in here, and it'd be like, the Grizzlies are up after one. The Grizzlies are up after two. The Grizzlies are up going into the fourth quarter. Oh, no, they just got outscored 32-14 in the fourth and took a loss. Like, that happens all the time in the NBA, where the undeniably superior team plays around, but then just takes over in the fourth and gets out of there with a win. I figured that's what would happen last night. It is not what happened. Miami closed on a 26-13 run over the final 8:31. They win that game 115-104. And I suppose at this point it'll forever be remembered as the Jimmy Butler game,
mm-hmm,
because he was awesome. Took 20 shots, made 14 of them, finished with 40 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks in 45 minutes. It was the first 40-point triple-double done by a player shooting better than 70% from the field in NBA Finals history. And just the 7th 40-point triple-double done by a player shooting better than 70% from the field in NBA history.
And he didn't make a three-pointer.
Did not even attempt one.
Uh-uh.
Didn't make one, didn't attempt one. Charles Barkley is the only other player to have one of these types of triple-doubles in the playoffs, but that didn't come in the finals. So Jimmy Butler's the only guy to ever have one in the finals. It was just the 3rd 40-point triple-double in NBA Finals history. The others belong to Jerry West and LeBron James. And afterward, you know, Heat coach Eric Spoelstra, he was asked about the game, and here's what he said. He said, quote, look, how else do you say it other than Jimmy effing Butler? But this is what he wanted. This is what we wanted. It's really hard to analyze or describe Jimmy until you actually feel him between the four lines. He's a supreme elite competitor, and we needed it tonight, end quote. And then Spoelstra went on to explain that it was actually Dwayne Wade who vouched for Jimmy Butler in free agency. D-Wade is the one who told Pat Riley and the rest of the organization, Jimmy Butler is the free agent you should prioritize and you should sign. Here's what Spoelstra said. He said, quote, Dwayne swore to us. He looked Pat and I dead in the eye and said, this is your guy. This is the next guy. So that's interesting to hear once again that Miami actually loved all of the other things some of these franchises didn't value when it comes to Jimmy Butler. The drive, the focus, the work ethic, the competitiveness, the fight. And the fact that he told LeBron last night after a bucket in the fourth, quote, you're in trouble, is so awesome. Did you see? You've seen this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, Jimmy subsequently explained, like, listen, I wasn't just out there talking trash to LeBron James. There was a moment at the end of the first quarter when they were rolling on us pretty good to cut our lead to basically nothing. LeBron looked at me and said, you're in trouble. So in the fourth, when I'm doing it to him, I just did the same thing to him, looked back and said, you're in trouble. But when we're watching it, we don't have that context.
Right.
All we are watching is Jimmy Butler finish once again and then look at LeBron James dead in the eye and say, you're in trouble. So that's just perfect. Do you think he's in trouble? Jimmy Butler also said last night, we know we're shorthanded, but we're going to come back and even the series 2-2. Like, I love that he doesn't say the cliche things most players in his situation would say. Stuff like, hey, you know, this series isn't over. We know we're shorthanded. We know we're the underdog, but like we think we can beat this team. We think if we play well. He doesn't say we think we can or we might or we're going to compete or we're going to fight till the end. He says we're going to even the series at 2-2. Do you think LeBron James is in trouble?
No. Because I don't think we're going to have another game like that out of Anthony Davis where he gets in foul trouble and just never gets his rhythm all night. Like, I would be shocked if you don't see Anthony Davis just have a massive game tomorrow night and they win it pretty handily.
He was 6-9, 15 yeah. points, 5 rebounds, 5 turnovers. Like, you can't do 5 rebounds if you're Anthony Davis. You
no.
can't do 5 turnovers if you're Anthony Davis. You can't be minus 23 if you're Anthony Davis. Like, he was not good. Danny Green was not 0-6.
Yeah.
KCP 1-5. Dwight Howard did nothing. And so I think this would be the point. And I'm interested. Like, I'm back in.
I am too.
I was interested going into game one, uninterested going into game two, uninterested going into game three, interested going into game four, because now you've got the Jimmy Butler storyline, you know, coming off a historically great final show. You've got, you know, regardless of the context. Like, and I know LeBron didn't take – I don't think he would have taken it personally because he knew when Jimmy said that to him that he was just repeating what he had already said to Jimmy. But either way, like, that's an awesome clip to have heading into a game four.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler telling the King, you're in trouble. You've got all these storylines that make it interesting for game four. And, oh, by the way, Bam Adebayo might play. Goran Dragic put it today at very low percentage that he'll play.
Nah, he's not going to play.
I don't think you're going to see him again this season. And you might never see him again in a Heat's uniform, like in a Miami uniform. He's an unrestricted free agent. The other side of that is they might just have to bring him back because who else plays that position that you can rely on at this level? But, like, I'd be surprised if he plays again in this series. He doesn't sound like he's going to play in this series. You got to remember, it's not a normal series where, like, you know, you play on a Sunday and then fly across the country and the next game's not till Thursday. Like, we're not, or Wednesday. You're not getting that now. You play on Sunday, you're playing again on Tuesday. The turnaround it doesn't allow you to heal like a normal finals schedule might allow you to heal. Bam Adebayo might play. You know, he said it's up to doctors to tell him when he can go. He didn't rule anything out. He says he's day to day. Dragic, it doesn't sound like he's gonna go. But I'm in on this now. I'm interested going into game four. I might find myself uninterested going into game five, but I'm interested going into game four. And the reason I still think it probably ends the way it's supposed to end, LA in five, is because if you look at what happened last night, everything that could go poorly for the Lakers, for the most part, did. I mean, Markieff Morris played well, but and LeBron was fine, like a very normal, maybe subpar LeBron performance. He had 8 turnovers. You can't do that. But, like, you know, he didn't disappear completely. But AD gave him nothing relative to normal AD stuff. Danny Green gave him nothing. KCP was not good. Dwight Howard, nothing. Miami gets an all-time great performance from Jimmy Butler. The Lakers play way out of character. I don't know if you saw this. I think most people know they took 42 three-pointers. They were 14 of 42. Like, that's awful. Do you know that it was the first time in franchise history that the Lakers, more than half of their field goal attempts came from the three-point line? First time this season, first time these playoffs, first time in franchise history. So when they take 42 three-pointers, they are so far away from what they normally do that it is actually literally unprecedented for that franchise for this team. And inexplicable considering with no Bam Adebayo, you've got an amazing size, strength, right, everything advantage around the rim. Like, now's the time you're going to take 42 three-pointers in a game? And 9 of those three-pointers were taken in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. So this isn't just like late shot clock stuff. You've got to get a shot. Nine of the 42 were taken in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. They were 1 of 9 on those, by the way. My point being this. Miami got an all-time great performance from Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero was bad but showed up in the fourth quarter. The Lakers shot 42 threes, only made 14 of them, got nothing from Anthony. And it was still a tie game with 9 minutes to go.
Right.
So that's why I would assume this gets back on track tomorrow night. Also understand, in every series so far this postseason, the Lakers have had one of those games. Every series, they've had one.
That's true. I feel like they've lost the first game of, like, every series besides this one.
They have had one game in every series where they just did not show up.
Yep.
And they usually respond to that pretty well. And so I will assume that they'll respond to that pretty well tomorrow night. But a series that looked like it was going to be interesting going into game one and then didn't seem that interesting going into game two or game three got interesting again last night. It still probably ends Lakers 5, Lakers 6, but Jimmy Butler having a historically great performance to make this 2-1, and you've got all the other little storylines attached to it, really, really good stuff. I wasn't looking forward to game two or really game three. Game four, I'll be in front of the television for that one. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Brett McMurphy is a college football insider for Stadium. Talk college football with him next, including Arkansas winning an SEC game for the first time in a bazillion years. Shouts to Sam Pittman. Brett McMurphy's up next.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll recap Monday Night Football as the Chiefs and the Packers try to remain unbeaten. Plus, we look ahead to game number 4 of the NBA Finals. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Tuesdays.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, weekday mornings 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. Live on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's number one sports place. Get us on Instagram, instagram.com/92.9ESPN. Get us on Facebook, facebook.com/92.9ESPN.
What up? It's KD. I'm excited to finally bring you my podcast, The Etceteras.
People had a couple of days to digest the first half of this convo with Kyrie.
You know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too.
Join me and KD each and every week on The Etceteras.
Subscribe and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 1-800-789-3221. 1-800-789-3221. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 1-800-789-3221.
Sports and scandals, what more could you ask for? I'm Rachel Bonetta.
And I'm Rechna Fruchtbaum.
And every week on our new podcast, Hall of Shame, we'll take each other through some of the biggest scandals in sports history.
From Maria Sharapova's doping scandal to Dennis Rodman's friendship with Kim Jong-un, we'll talk about what happened, why these stories matter, and how they're still relevant today.
New episodes of Hall of Shame come out every Monday. Find it on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up? We're here to help. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and an STP extended life oil filter for just $32.99. Plus a $10 bonus reward if you're an AutoZone Rewards member. Not a member? Don't worry. You can sign up fast right here in store or on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right?
Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate got into a fist fight on a football field yesterday, and it appears to be rooted in the way Jalen Ramsey once did Golden Tate's sister. So that's my favorite story from the NFL on Sunday. We'll get into it next. Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's a college football insider for Stadium at watchstadium.com. It's Brett McMurphy, please, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So Brett, I want to start with the Memphis Tigers real quick, and then we'll branch out to other stuff. They obviously lose 30-27 at SMU on Saturday. Went down real big early. Looked like a team that hadn't played in about a month. Rallied late. Turnovers hit them. But let me ask you this, from somebody who's been monitoring this coast to coast, how should Memphis fans feel? Like, is it just, hey, that's the byproduct of COVID-19 got us and we didn't play for about a month and it looked that way? Or is it a sign, a real reflection of, you know, you lost your best playmaker in Kenneth Gainwell and Mike Norvell's no longer the coach? What do you make of what happened there?
I think it's more COVID, Gary, because you can't really – thoroughly evaluate all these schools. And that, you know, I've been asked, should this season have an asterisk? And I say, no, it should have two asterisks, like the glasses you wear at New Year's Eve with the two holes for the zeros. Those should be asterisks for 2020 because you've got so many people opting out. You've got teams at different strengths. You've got teams that haven't played for 3 weeks. Memphis, North Carolina was in the same situation. And they struggled against Boston College. So I don't think you can sit there and say, oh, wow, you know, they lost the SMU, you know, the program's regressing because Norvell's not there. You know, I think that's something you can look at the end of the year. But even then, I think it's hard to call because there's so much stuff going on. But even with all that said, I mean, I watched some of the game. You know, obviously they dropped behind early and then they came back. And if Memphis doesn't turn it over, they probably kicked the game-winning field goal in the final minute instead of SMU, and that would have been a huge come-from-behind win. But it's just, it's going to be a weird season. There's going to be a lot of strange things happen. And, you know, I don't think you can fairly judge a team good or bad this year because there are just too many external and internal factors that these schools have not had to deal with before.
I think that's right. I'm talking to Brett McMurphy here from Stadium, online at watchstadium.com. Meantime, Arkansas goes down to Starkville, wins 21-14, so basically shut down a Mike Leach offense that had set records the week prior. I don't know that I ever expected anybody, even Mississippi State, to go to LSU 1 week and win and then lose at home to Arkansas the following week. What does that say about Mike Leach? What does it say about Sam Pittman? What did you make of that development?
Well, You know, it's kind of like if you follow Mike Leach's career, that's kind of kind of his MO. I mean, he'll pull off some big wins, but then he has some head-scratching losses, and that certainly happened, you know, two games into his return to the SEC. And, you know, so I think it's a little bit of Mississippi State, you know, maybe living off the upset over LSU, and I think Arkansas is, you know, very improved with Sam Pittman, and, you know, just a combination. You know, look, Mississippi State outgained Arkansas by a pretty significant margin, but bottom line is Arkansas got the win. And, look, that's life in the SEC. Every week it's going to be that way. There are no non-conference games, so I think we're going to see more and more of that. But, again, you know, everybody that was ready to hail Mississippi State is a threat to the SEC title may want to back off that a little bit. I still think they'll be, you know, competitive over 500. But obviously, you've got to be consistent week in, week out in the SEC, and that's something that Mike Leach is learning about, you know, on the job. And then for Arkansas, you know, look, Sam Pittman has already showed, you know, huge improvement for the Razorbacks. They hung for a half against Georgia, and we saw, you know, Georgia's the real deal, and they're dismantling of Auburn. So I don't think Arkansas is going to be an easy pushover as they have been the past couple of years, and that's kind of how it is with the SEC every week. You can literally win or lose every week, unless of course you're Alabama.
Unless of course you're Alabama, which just stomped Texas A&M 52-24. They remain number two in the AP poll, behind Clemson. Listen, I don't think anybody should be surprised that Alabama is dominant in football. That is historically true, and especially so under Nick Saban. Is A&M where it ought to be under Jimbo Fisher 3 years into a $75 million contract?
Well, Gary, I think this is a huge week for Jimbo. They play Florida. And, Jimbo's not on the hot seat, okay? They're not going to pay him $75. By the way, that money's guaranteed. Don't you wish? You know, our agents would have got us those kind of deals back in the day. So they're not going to fire him. But it is, you know, this is a big week because they're playing Florida. Texas A&M has not, you know, lived up to the expectations. But you know what? Who could have lived up to the expectations of that contract? And maybe that's not fair. But, you know, that's what Jimbo's got to deal with. He's 10-8 in the SEC since he took over. By comparison, Mississippi State's 8-10. So you're basically saying Texas A&M has been Mississippi State the past 3 years. That's not what Aggie fans signed up for. Now you've got a Florida team coached by Dan Mullen, who in his third year also at Florida, who has had consecutive double-digit win seasons with the Gators, who took over a very poor program that was had historically been very good offensively and then went down the drain. And now Mullen has resurrected the offense, but that has not happened with Jimbo. And, you know, the opening game against Vanderbilt, you know, they could have lost that game. They didn't. Maybe they were looking ahead. But, yeah, they were tied with Alabama, and then Alabama just pulled away and didn't look back. So this is a huge win for Jimbo, because if he loses this, he's 1-2. Still has to go at Tennessee, who's vastly improved. Still has LSU. Still has to go at Auburn. They could be looking at it. You know, a 5-5 season, and certainly that's not what you sign up for when you pay $75 million. And there's obviously a lot of stats out there that back this up, and you can make stats say whatever they want. But you know, without Jameis Winston at Florida State, you look at Jimbo's record, and it's above 500, but it's not that outstanding. So you wonder, did he just benefit from Jameis Winston time at Florida State, and have things kind of even out since then. So, again, not that he's on the hot seat, but this is a big, big game for Jimbo as far as moving forward this week against Florida, another top five team in the SEC.
No, I think that's an important thing to point out. Like, every once in a while you will get a coach who can really cash in because he had this transcendent quarterback, Jimbo Fisher, Jameis Winston. Jim Chizik, Cam Newton, Kevin Sumlin, Johnny Manziel. They were all operating for a very brief period of time with, you know, Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. transcendent quarterbacks, and they cashed in on those. And everything outside of that little window was very mediocre, if not bad. It is interesting. We might find out Jimbo Fisher's that same thing, or at least something close to it.
Yeah, I mean, remember, Jimbo Fisher left Florida State, and it was a bad program. And Willie Taggart came in and tried to turn things around. He wasn't able to. Now Mike Norvell's there. He's struggling as well. You can't blame what's going on, 3 years after Jimbo left on Jimbo. But, look, when he left Florida State, they were a 500 team. They were 6-6. They won their bowl game. They were 7-6. So it's not like he left Florida State with this, 10-win season, and then Willie struggled in 2 years, and Norvell's there now. And so, yeah, you're right. We'll have to see. I think the jury's still out, but, certainly the stretch he had with Jameis, winning a national championship, speaks for itself. But then without Jameis, it's been a lot different result, both at Florida State and now obviously at Texas A&M.
Talking to Brett McMurphy from Stadium. He's on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. Elsewhere in the state of Texas, TCU beat the Longhorns 33-31 in Austin. And I don't spend much really I don't spend any time on Texas message boards, but I gather from Twitter that Texas message boards are already trying to figure out how to hire Urban Meyer to get him into the Big 12. Is that realistic? Like, A, Urban Meyer coaching again, and B, I guess if you are going to coach again, why not Texas?
Yeah, I think Urban will come back and coach. Where we'll have to find out. I don't think Texas, even though they've got more money than God, I don't think they're ready to pull the plug on Tom Herman. But certainly, yeah, the message board, the group or whatever you want,
right,
whatever you want to term them, they are saying, "Oh, we need Urban." We'll see how the season finishes out for Tom Herman, but certainly this is a big year for him. He has a 10-win season in year two, and then last year they regressed a little bit, 8-5. I think they exceeded expectations in year two, but I thought year four, I think a lot of people thought this would be a big year for them, and then certainly you lost to TCU, and now you've got a game, you've got the annual game with Oklahoma and Dallas, and the loser of this game certainly. Lincoln Riley's not on the hot seat. There's disparaging opinions whether Herman is or not. I don't think he is. But certainly the loser of this game is going to be catching a lot of heat from their fan base, which is just kind of the reality we're in right now. And you look at, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, if he falls to 0-3 in conference play, it'll be the first time that happened since 1998 when John Blake, that was his final year, when he was in Oklahoma, Bob Stoops took over the next year, and we know what happened with Stoops and how the Sooners program turned it around. So this is a huge, huge game for – we would have said that before the year. This would be a huge game, but not for the reasons that I think everybody's looking at it now, because certainly Texas can't afford to drop two in a row, and Oklahoma's trying to avoid their first three-game losing streak in over 20 years.
Wrapping up here with Brett McMurphy from Stadium. Last thing before I let you go, Tennessee-Georgia, massive game coming up Saturday. It'll be the afternoon game on CBS. On one hand, the Vols under Jeremy Pruitt have won 8 consecutive games. That's awesome. On the other hand, it's 8 games against mostly whatever opponents, if not entirely whatever opponents. Now they go to Georgia this weekend. Are you a believer in Tennessee? And whether you are or not, how big of an opportunity is this for that program and for Jeremy Pruitt specifically?
Well, I understand, and I loved how you described it. They beat whatever.
Right, whatever.
But they have beat whatever. Included that in that was the very thrilling Gator Bowl win against an Indiana team. So you give them credit. They're winning those games. I thought they were very impressive against Missouri, and they took care of business there. But, yeah, they've got to – I don't necessarily think they need to beat Georgia, but they've got to be competitive. I mean, the last 3 years they've lost against Georgia by, an average of something like 5 touchdowns. And obviously, you know, 2017 was before Pruitt. So I think this is a big game for them, similar to A&M and Jimbo Fisher with Florida. This is kind of a benchmark game to kind of see, okay, are you guys really a contender in the SEC East, or is this just, have you guys just benefited from beating a bunch of whatevers? And I think we'll find out. And certainly, you know, it's a good opportunity for Tennessee. If they can, you know, look, if they can somehow pull off an upset, then yes, they're absolutely legit and for real. You know, so they're certainly not thinking about, you know, morale wins or keeping it close, but I think it is imperative. They can't, if they come in here and lose by four or five touchdowns, then it's like, okay, it's the same old balls, same thing we've seen the past 3 or 4 years. And then that takes away all the momentum they have for the current winning streak.
That is Brett McMurphy from Stadium. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @Brett_McMurphy. You can watch him and read him at watchstadium.com. I appreciate you being here, buddy. Have a good week. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
All right, brother. That's Brett McMurphy from Stadium. And I think that's exactly right about Tennessee. Big weekend for them. Listen, if you're a UT fan, you should be ecstatic with the way things are going. Mm-hmm. Like, 8 straight wins is 8 straight wins. And it's been a long time since you've been able to be actually excited about the state of your football program. So good for you. Enjoy it. That said, they hadn't beat anybody. And winning 8 straight games against inferior opponents isn't to be taken for granted. Teams lose to inferior opponents all the time. Texas just did it this weekend. Mississippi State just did it this weekend, at least based on what odds makers believe. So it's not to be taken for granted, but it is to be properly framed. You're just beating bad teams or mediocre teams or teams that you're supposed to beat. That is what Tennessee's 8-game winning streak is. Now you go to Georgia and win. Now you shut everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Georgia and win, and I think you announce yourself to the nation. Hey, we're not a program that's just been recruiting well. We're not a program that's just been beating bad teams. We are a program that is ready to elevate to the top tier of the SEC East and, by extension, the top tier of the SEC. Right now, reasonable minds can disagree on where the Tennessee program is and where the Tennessee program is headed. But you go to Georgia this weekend, you knock that out. Or honestly, just be competitive. Like, let's go into the fourth quarter and we're in a football game. Like, listen, 5 minutes to go and you've got a chance to win. Again, as Brett pointed out, nobody's into moral victories, but when you're on an 8-game losing streak. But you go to Georgia and you show yourself, be competitive in a way that Auburn could not be competitive. Well, then I think even in defeat, with your 8-game winning streak being snapped, you could gain a lot of respect around the nation. But you go down there and get smacked around, then it's right back to, okay, well, listen, they won 8 straight games against nobody. You put them against a peer, and they got smacked around. They're not there yet. Like, we're going to learn a lot about Tennessee on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that game. I've had a hard time getting into college football this season, I think for a variety of reasons, but that is one I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Did you watch the Memphis game?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just college football in general, and I don't know why. This is probably me being weird. It's certainly me in the minority. I've just had a hard time getting into it. You know, not everybody started at the same time. We still don't have the Big Ten or the Pac-12. It really took until this past weekend to get some big, you know, to get something that looks like Auburn, Georgia. You know, even if that game sucked.
Right.
It was still like it sounded like big-time college football. Memphis being off for a month. I think there's a lot of reasons why I've had a hard time, like, grabbing on to college football. I'll be completely honest with you. Saturday night, like, I had games on, and I was sitting upstairs with my boys and hanging out. But I was like, I wish there was playoff baseball on tonight. Like, I wish there was playoff baseball on tonight instead of just college football. Because it was one night where, for the first time in a long time, we didn't have baseball or the NBA. Saturday night, we didn't have baseball or the NBA. It was like,
right.
It was like college football. And I was like, I'd rather be watching playoff basketball or playoff baseball right now than college football. Then that Iowa State game got good, and I was, you know, I was watching it. But I didn't care, I guess is my point. I didn't look forward to it, really. I'm looking forward to Georgia, Tennessee, 2:30 on CBS, America's Most Watched Network, Network of Stars. That'll be the big SEC game of the weekend. We'll talk about it more as the week progresses. When we come back, highlight of Sunday NFL, Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate got into a fist fight because Jalen Ramsey apparently had a child with Golden Tate's sister, then impregnated her again, and then left her for a stripper. So that's quite a sequence of events. You can see how Golden Tate might not have the best impression of Jalen Ramsey. I'm sure he's seen the worst and heard the worst. And it came to fisticuffs yesterday, right in the middle of a football field. We'll talk about that next.
You know, there are more ways to win than ever before on the FanDuel Fantasy app. From daily fantasy to new season-long contests, you can play for free or join paid games to compete for real cash prizes. Right now, FanDuel's giving new players 20% on their first deposit up to $500 in bonus credit added instantly into your new account. You can enter now and play in Sunday slate and single game contest, or you can try your luck in Gridiron Pick'em. Just pick the winners of Sunday's NFL matchups correctly for your chance to earn up to $5,000. Every week, absolutely free. And when you win, FanDuel pays out your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't tried FanDuel yet, what are you waiting for? Tonight, they got some great contests. MLB playoffs resume. They've got the 125K Monday MLB rally, 25K to first place. And we got a doubleheader of NFL Monday Night Football tonight. They've got the $1 million NFL Monday Million Contest, 200K to first place. You better get in there and set your lineups now before they fill up. I'm going to be playing. You should be playing. Simply download the FanDuel Fantasy app today to get started and claim your deposit bonus of up to $500. Age and location-based restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year, and there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
This pandemic has taken away many things. It's robbed us from our day-to-day, kept us from our work and play, and erased our views of regular, standard, and normal. But it's taught us a lot as well, including what and who matters most. That's why it's more important than ever to help protect your loved ones from the flu this season. Make a flu shot appointment for yourself and the people you care about most at Kroger.com/flu. At Kroger Health, we believe that your people are our people.
What's up, everybody? This is Rich Kleiman, co-founder of 35 Ventures, alongside my business partner, Kevin Durant. This week on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast, I detail my own journey in getting where I am today and where I'm still trying to go.
Hold on, you're working on Fade to Black with Hope, like... What's his leadership style like? You know what I'm saying?
He really made me pay attention to the details in business and how important that is in terms of how your brand is presented. And I mean, so much of my business acumen, I think, is from watching and learning from so much of him. And, you know, like how effortlessly cool he was, and then his instincts with the film, and just like being able to come in and see an edit and know what changes should be made. And you just want to work hard for him. And that's like the best kind of leader. You can listen for free to this episode and more on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your shows.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, one of the best clothing stores in the entire nation. It's where I shop. It's where you should shop in. Here to tell you why is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we have delivered over 2,300 custom-fit stance shirts in a year. We take three measurements, load in the computer, and it gives us the perfect fit shirt out of 175 tries to fit you. Once we get the perfect fit, you have over 150 fabrics to choose from, starting at $98, and 7 days later, bam, shirt is delivered. Gary, you are not an off-the-rack fit, and you know yours fit perfect. No more baggy Michelin man fit or rolling up those sleeves to look like a barbershop quartet.
I could not buy off the rack. That's why I don't buy off the rack. I get my shirts custom made at James Davis. If you need one, same kind I own, you know where to go. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center. They're on the web, jamesdavisstore.com. Check that website, jamesdavisstore.com.
Hurt? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. You live in Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you are somebody who enjoys supporting local companies that support the local university's athletic department, well, Elizabeth Rook Insurance qualifies. You can reach them at 901-867-7283, 867-7283. And they have two locations in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other is on Highway 51 in Covington. If you don't have a good life insurance policy, you need to get one. You wouldn't want something to happen to you, leave your family in a financial bind. Elizabeth Rook Insurance can help you with that. Learn more, rookinsurance.com. That's Elizabeth Rook Insurance, 867-7283, on the web, rookinsurance.com. Jeff Calk is going to be here a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, though, got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The Giants and Rams played yesterday, with the Rams winning that game. But who cares about that? Because the storyline was the fist fight that happened after the game was over, right at midfield. It featured Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate. And they weren't just fighting because they had a disagreement within the context of the football game. They were fighting because, and I didn't realize this until yesterday. Did you know the backstory on
this?
No. I had no idea.
Now,
where have I been?
Can I be honest? When I saw it happen, like, in real time, I thought they were, because Jalen Ramsey popped him on play hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, lifted him up off the ground and threw him down. I thought that's why they were fighting.
Yep. There's more to it.
Right.
There's more to it. So it turns out Jalen Ramsey, honestly, I'm disappointed I didn't know this story. This is the type of thing I should know.
Yeah.
I usually know this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you do, GP.
Apparently, Jalen Ramsey used to date Breonna Tate, who is Golden Tate's sister, also an Ole Miss alum. Did you know that?
No.
She went to Ole Miss.
Okay.
Hottie toddy.
Wait, where did Golden Tate go? He didn't go. He went to like a Big Ten school or
something.
I thought
he went to
Notre Dame. Yeah, Notre Dame. Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
Notre Dame. I don't know how they met. I don't know the root of the Jalen Ramsey, Breonna Tate relationship. But at some point they met, and then, I'm just going to connect some dots here.
Mm-hmm.
They started having sex.
Okay.
Unprotected.
Yeah, well.
And they had a child together.
That'll happen.
Okay, it does. Hey, don't tell me. Don't tell me. And then, best I can tell, they had sex again.
Uh-huh.
Unprotected. She got pregnant again.
Okay, so they got a couple babies together. Okay.
While she was pregnant with the second baby,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Ramsey met a stripper in Las Vegas.
That never goes good.
I'd say it almost never goes good. I'm sure it works out sometimes for somebody.
Yeah, but.
But, like, statistically speaking.
I've heard these kind of stories before.
It just,
yeah.
You know, statistically speaking, they don't usually turn out well.
Right.
So Jalen Ramsey, infatuated with the stripper, as you sometimes get, decided, you know what, I'd rather be with the stripper than Golden Tate's sister. So he left his pregnant girlfriend? At least the pregnant mother of his first child. At the very best, that's an accurate.
Mm-hmm.
At the worst, that's the accurate description. He leaves her for a Las Vegas stripper, and Golden Tate now views Jalen Ramsey as little more than the guy who left my sister pregnant and left her for a stripper. Bennett, do you have a sister? I don't even know if you have a sister.
I don't have a sister.
I didn't think you did.
No.
I never heard you mention, but I don't know. I've never even asked. So you don't have a sister. Pretend
no.
you did.
Okay.
If somebody had a baby with her and then got her pregnant again and then left for a stripper, would you want to fight that person?
Yes.
You would fight.
Yes.
You would fight over that.
100%.
See, I don't know that I would. Here's the thing. I don't make a habit of judging other people's relationships. Like, I can why people are in them or why people leave them. I don't really get involved in that because we never know. You never know the ins and outs of somebody's relationship. Like, I can acknowledge it's a bad look when you leave a pregnant woman for a stripper. Like, I can acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Or for anybody, honestly. But you know who else did that once? Tom Brady.
That's true. He left a famous Hollywood actress.
He left an actress for a supermodel. So it's a little different than an Ole Miss alum for a stripper. But he still left a pregnant woman. And I remember hearing that story and going, what kind of scumbag leaves a pregnant woman? But then I remember going, well, I don't know what was going on in their relationship. Maybe by the time she got pregnant, they had no relationship at all. Like, I'm confident you've had sex with somebody that you weren't that close to anymore. Like, most people have. And so maybe he didn't really leave her as much as they were already on the outs and they weren't really in a relationship anymore. But then, you know, they hooked up one night because sometimes that happens. And then she got pregnant. But meantime, he's falling in love with Giselle. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not there. I don't know what's going on in that relationship.
I get that.
So, like, the surface level, how could you leave somebody who's pregnant for a stripper or even for a supermodel? Like, I get it. Looks bad. Sounds bad. But maybe it's not nearly as bad as it sounds. Like, what if you sit down with somebody and they go, listen, yes, Breonna Tate was pregnant with our second child, but our relationship was over. So when they say I left her for a stripper, I didn't leave her for a stripper. Our relationship was over. I was going to be a father to my children and support her financially as I'm obligated to do. But, like, I didn't leave her for a stripper. I started dating this new person because that relationship was over. That sounds a little better, right?
Yeah, what I would say is that if you're Golden Tate and it's your sister, it doesn't matter the context. I think regardless, even if Golden Tate's sister like came to him and was like, hey, you know, it ain't that serious. I still think if you're Golden Tate, because you play each other on Sundays, I think you gotta show your nuts a little bit.
You gotta show your nuts.
I think you do.
I didn't know you had to show your nuts.
No, I think you do.
I didn't realize you had to show your nuts.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. I think this.
First off, I should say, whatever the best version of the story is, like if Jalen Ramsey's story is really, I didn't leave a pregnant woman for a stripper. The mother of my first child was pregnant with my second child. But our relationship was donezo. Like, we were not going to be together, and we both knew that. She knew that. And so I met this other person while she was pregnant. That's true. I did not leave her for this other person while she was pregnant. There was nothing to leave. There was nothing there. Even if that's, like, the best version of his story, I promise you that's not her version.
Right.
Like, I promise you. Like, that. I also, this is what I know two things about relationships. And really, probably only these two things. Everything else remains a mystery. Two things. One is you don't know anything about another couple's relationship, so stop acting like you do. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Two people in a relationship that's gone the wrong way never have the same version of events.
Oh, that's true.
Never.
Sure.
Never. Like, I have friends who have gotten divorced, and I'm friends with both of them. I'm friends with both of them before they started dating. I'm friends with both of them while they were married. I'm friends with both of them after they're divorced. Like, I'm more friendly with both of them than they are with each other. And I promise you, when I sit down and talk to both of them, and they're both reasonable people in their normal lives, they don't, their stories don't match up. So why did this happen? So why did that happen? they tell completely different stories. And I don't know that they're intentionally lying as much as that your version of events is always going to be your version of events. And so even if Jalen Ramsey's story is like, you could make it sound good, that is not what Breonna Tate thinks happened.
Right.
I promise you. And then, like, your Golden Tate, you're already pissed that the guy left your sister. At least that's the story in your head, true or not. And then he's going to hit you the way he hit you. Now I do think maybe you got to show your nuts.
I think so.
I think now we got to fight. So yep. They fought. And then apparently Jalen Ramsey was hanging out outside of the locker room trying to fight Golden Tate some more.
Okay.
So he just wanted to just keep fighting all night long. And then Breonna Tate posted a message on Instagram that was like, you know, it was exactly the type of thing you'd say. So, but because when you strip away all of the jokes, there is a woman watching the guy who left her pregnant fight her brother on national television.
It's
like
true.
That's not fun. You know, there's like one day some kid will be able to jump on YouTube and go, oh, there's my dad fighting my uncle on national television. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it is kind of a rough family situation, but that don't mean I can't enjoy it.
Story number two.
We got a doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight.
Yes,
are you fired up?
I'm very fired up, actually.
Patriots Chiefs followed by Falcons Packers. If you could only watch one, which one would you watch?
I'm probably going to watch.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.